Hello and welcome to another Directions Media podcast sponsored by ITT, Visual Information Solutions. This is Joe Francia, Editor-in-Chief. Today's podcast is entitled Advances in Remote Sensing Technology and the Widened Use of Imagery. The podcast discusses the increased availability of imagery and how advances in remote sensing technology used to process and analyze imagery benefits users. Cherie Darnell of ITT interviews Richard Cook, president of the company, to get an update on the trends in imagery applications and the explosion of new users that now have access to a variety of remotely sensed data and the rise of enterprise geospatial applications.
Hello, and welcome to this ITT Visual Information Solutions podcast. And today we're going to cover the advances in remote sensing technology and the widened use of imagery. With me is Mr. Richard Cook from ITT VIS, the developers of Envi software for geospatial imagery visualization and analysis. Richard is the president at ITT Visual Information Solutions, where he's been for 10 years. Richard, tell me what trends you have noticed in the use of imagery in the last few years.
Thanks, Cherie. One of the biggest trends that we've seen is just the raw explosion of the availability of imagery. And I think that has really driven applications of imagery that we hadn't seen before. You had the traditional users in the defense and security realm. You had some people in precision agriculture, but traditional GIS users are now starting to use imagery to update their tax records and their cadastral systems. They're using imagery to update floodplain maps for disaster management recovery. They're using imagery to do mineral and oil exploration, which historically they've done using, more traditional scientific methods. Even in the analytics world where people used to use GIS to look at demographic information to determine where they're going to put their next Starbucks. Now they're bringing imagery into that mix as well to determine, the suitability of a site. For example, it may look good from a demographic standpoint, but does it look good from an actual construction standpoint as well? And imagery helps in that realm as well. But even more than that, I think one of the things that we're seeing as a trend in the industry is the rise of enterprise GIS, and not just having a map that you update and it doesn't update again for 6 months, 12 months, 18 months. With imagery and the availability of it, GIS users have been able to rapidly and more frequently update their maps using some automated feature extraction technique, or automated change detection techniques that automatically pull things out of the imagery and populate their geodatabase. So they have, more real-time updates to their geodatabase.
Richard, you mentioned this explosion of imagery. How are you making the tools more accessible to a variety of users?
Well, that's an excellent question. I mentioned that, GIS users who have traditionally only used imagery as a very high-level contextual backdrop are now finding that they really can find useful the information that they can extract from imagery, but they're not image scientists. Now, the reality of it is that the image science is still a very critical aspect of what's going on here. And so as a developer of software to do image analysis, we can't compromise the integrity of the scientific results when we do image processing. But we had to find a way to make it more accessible to these users that traditionally didn't use imagery but now want to integrate it into their GIS workflows and applications. So we really took a different approach. We said, let's use the benefits of what Microsoft has done in the Windows operating system and the concept of wizards and workflows and try to distill the image analysis and processing tasks into discrete steps, hiding as much of the complexity as we could without compromising the results, but also giving users the ability to drill down into the complexity if they so chose. And this started with Spear that we announced 3 years ago. We released something called the Spear Tools, which really were, at the time, niche tools for the security market aimed at exploiting panchromatic, multispectral, hyperspectral imagery, looking for specific features of interest. And basically what we did was we implemented wizard-based workflows that step the user step-by-step through the process of opening their imagery, pre-processing and preparing their imagery for analysis, the analysis itself, and then the output of the data product or the information product. And that was wildly successful, and we knew we were onto something. So in the following year, we introduced a product called NVFX, which is a wizard and workflow-based feature extraction paradigm, which again, you know, look to remove some of the complexity from the processing and analysis tasks and help the user make some of the key decisions as they go through the process. And that was also very well received. So as we entered into our strategic relationship with ESRI, we wanted to take that concept to the next level. And this year we're announcing NVEX, which is the feature extraction product with other key workflows, specifically change detection, anomaly detection, target identification, feature extraction, and classification. And some really advanced techniques, but distilled into these workflows that will walk the user through the process. The big differentiator now is that since we're partnered with ESRI, the output is natively to a geodatabase or to ArcMap for finishing, printing, map production, that sort of thing. So now we've really encapsulated the entire workflow from capturing the image to extracting the information out of it to creating your data product or populating your geodatabase in a very straightforward workflow-based paradigm.
You mentioned all these new users that you're reaching when these different workflow tools that you're building on the product now. What are some of the new applications that might emerge as imagery is playing a larger role in these more traditional types of GIS applications?
As we started out the conversation, we talked a lot about the raw availability of imagery really driving people to look for and find new ways of using imagery to benefit their applications. But I think one of the areas that we see, you know, isn't necessarily purely commercial, is, you know, really some research and some activities towards real disaster prediction rather than just disaster monitoring, disaster recovery, but using historical information. As you're aware, the Landsat archive has been opened up to really for free to the community, and people are able to see upwards of 20 years of imagery and do a lot of historical analysis of their imagery, bring that information into ArcGIS, use the modeler to do some very complex modeling, and then perhaps predict based upon 20 years of history and change and evolution of the landscape, if you will, do more predictive modeling of population growth, weather patterns, disasters, where they might occur, what are more effective evacuation routes, what are more effective recovery plans, or even rescue efforts. You know, what are the best ways to deploy rescue personnel during a disaster? These are areas that we've traditionally used imagery and GIS after the fact to say what happened. Now we're looking at using imagery and GIS to say, how can we better prepare for what could happen and alleviate damage, loss of life, and that sort of thing. We also mentioned, you know, oil and gas exploration has traditionally been a seismic driven phenomena. You know, they would use seismic data to look for clues and signatures and triggers. You know, now electro-optical and SAR imagery along with LIDAR are being used to look at topographical information, to look at the composition of Earth around a certain area, looking for physical characteristics of factors that could point to the existence of some mineral or natural gas or oil that they're looking for. So we're seeing a real explosion of the use of imagery in that sector just beyond of, okay, where we've discovered that this is an area we want to drill, let's use imagery and GIS to plan the drill. Now that's moving up the value chain to say, how can we use this technology and this information to reduce our costs associated with dry wells and things like that. There's many, many others, but those are two that just come to mind right away.
Richard, you mentioned some of these trends that we're seeing with the availability of more data, free data, and you touched on some of the products that you have, the incorporating workflows, and also looking into expanding beyond the desktop. What else are you really doing at the product level to address these imagery trends that you've mentioned?
Well, there's a couple things that we're doing. I did spend quite a bit of time talking about our workflow tools, and those things are, you know, sort of inherently focused at the desktop application level. But through our partnership with ESRI and their really world-class server architecture really is going to afford us the opportunity to move MV capabilities and technologies to the enterprise much more quickly. That can really take a couple of forms. You know, in one sense, it could be just opening MV users up to a wider array of enterprise computing services or data sources, if you will, through, you know, support of OGC standards and computing standards. Having MV as a client to an ArcGIS server that is plugged into data repositories and image repositories really anywhere in the world. So that's very exciting. But secondarily, creating a version of NV's tools that can be deployed, you know, without a client on the server side to do processing through the modeler environment, if you will, being able to string together some of these NV workflows into a modeler app type application and really remove you know, as much of the user interaction as possible from that process. And really to do that, whether it's, you know, on a local area network in the same office or across the internet using these open geospatial standards. And I think the second piece that you see us working on that we really haven't touched on is this concept of getting the data to the user once it's ready. You know, we've talked about a lot of imagery becoming available, the Landsat archives, not only those, but we've got new satellites being launched every day. The resolution's going up. The data sets are getting larger and larger and larger, even in an environment where you have a gigabit Ethernet backbone and a lot of compute resources. The data could potentially get overwhelming fairly quickly. So as a part of the mobile enterprise strategy or the broader enterprise strategy for Envy is coupled with what we talk about is our Image Access Solutions product, which uses JPEG 2000 compliant standards to compress and stream high resolution imagery, getting it to, you know, I'll call them disadvantaged users. These are people that may not be able to walk in and plug into a local area network, but they've got to get access to imagery very quickly. And not just imagery, but also ultimately metadata, point clouds from LIDAR, SAR scenes, hyperspectral cubes, things like that. Get them access to that data very quickly without them having to download a 3 or 4 gigabyte scene and only to find out that they pulled the wrong scene. And then I think the last piece is, and this is where we'll really leverage the relationship with ESRI and our product integration, is really to have Envy live and breathe in a federated environment. You know, imagine if you're an Envy user and you've got a difficult problem to solve and you want to find imagery from a certain date range for a certain geographical context for a specific application. Being able to natively from within the Envy environment query the ARC server with the parameters that you need and have it go out to all of these federated databases and come back and give you the wide range of possibilities of the imagery data that's available to help you solve your problem, that's going to be very powerful. So I think that's really an important aspect of where this is all going. I think people will continue to do desktop processing for a long time to come, but it's even on the desktop, it's going to be driven more and more by enterprise solutions and server-based applications than it's ever been before.
Thank you, Richard, for sharing your thoughts on some of the advances in remote sensing technology and the widened use of imagery to date. Please visit the ITT Visual Information Solutions website, www.ittvis.com, for more information on the Envy product line and for additional podcasts as well.